Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you're listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking, and this is the fifth Monday special event, and it is special. I have one of my favorite people here in studio, someone that is has a thirst to learn high skill sets and what sort of goes around in the mindset of people to make and create the life they want. And I want to welcome Mike Hoffman, owner of Service Master by Disaster Professionals. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Dave.
Oh, you're more than welcome. And it's so exciting to hang around like-minded people because, as you know, and we've talked about it quite often, you and I, you know, what's so important about running a business? You're the owner. You're the top guy. And it's more than just mechanical stuff. It's really, can you grow? Can you reach your full potential? What don't you know that the greats do know, like Jack Welch, COO of General Electric.
Actually CEO.
He's a CEO.
Former CEO.
He got demoted overnight. No. So he's a CEO of General Electric, and you love reading about the greats in the world.
That is correct. You can always learn from somebody, and why not learn from the best?
You know, that's a really good point. I totally agree with you on that. It's like if you're going to learn stuff you don't know. Warren Buffett always said it. Mm-hmm. Hang around people that know more than you. Now, I wasn't sure how Warren Buffett found someone that knew more than him, but he did. And his name was called Ben Graham, wrote Security Analysis. But doesn't that make sense? Hang around people that know stuff that maybe you've never experienced.
Yeah, that sounds like a really good idea.
It really is. And so some of the books, I'm impressed. You know, like we talked about the CEO of General Electric, Jack Welch, a book called Winning. And one in particular, well, let me mention a few others. Power of Now, Eckhart Tolle, which is great because people get so distracted in business and life, either anxiety, worry, they're looking into the past and saying, oh, I shouldn't have done this, or anxiety about the future. But the power of now, isn't all the power in the present moment?
Yes, that is correct. I mean, what's the past? The past is past. It's done. What's the future? Well, we don't know. It hasn't occurred yet. Let's think about now.
Exactly. And if you can do that, I think people would not have as much worry or an anxiety. And as you know, to be able to focus clearly, you have to be clear of worry and anxiety.
Yes, that's right. Worry and anxiety, they will just always cloud your mind and cloud your judgment.
There's no question. Also, let's see, the Secrets of the Power of Intention, our friend Wayne Dyer.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like that book?
Oh, I liked it very much. I've read it several times. Actually, I listened to it while I'm driving, but it's a very convenient way of getting knowledge. But no, I really enjoyed that book quite a bit.
And The Power versus Force, David Hawkins.
Yes, that's another interesting one. And they, all these last three are very actually spiritual kind of books.
Yeah,
and
which is good.
You think from a whole different perspective.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. That makes sense. A lot of people think, oh, I'm just a strict business guy or woman or whatever. But, you know, it's when you think globally and you think of all the greats, they had an element of spirituality, I think, about, you know, what can you give to the world? It's not what you can take, but what can you give?
Right, right.
That just totally makes sense.
Uh-huh.
Now, another one that we're going to go over and into a little bit is Great by Choice by Jim Collins.
Yes. Yes, I really enjoyed that book quite a bit. Jim Collins is known to me more by a book called Good to Great, and Great to Choice is kind of a different look at how the best companies thrive in kind of a chaotic world. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, you know, that's very cool because if you think about that, you use the word thrive, not survive.
Right, yes.
What does that mean to you? Because a lot of people say, only if I could survive this depression or recession. And it's like, why not skip the survive, go to thrive?
Right. Well, you know, the idea is you don't want to be yeah, we'd all like to be good, but why not be better than good? I mean, there's many ways to look at it, but if you're good, then what about when times get bad? Well, you may not be as strong, and you may not be as likely to survive if you're only good. If you're great, you'll always be at the top, no matter if times are good or they're bad.
That's right. You can always be the example, leading the pace for others to follow.
Yes, yes. So in this book, Jim Collins, he does case studies on several companies that he calls 10Xers, and they all had a very – well, they had 10X times the return on the stock market compared to other companies in their industry. And they all had certain things in common which separated them and enabled them to be successful.
That's fantastic. So he wrote a book, Good to Great?
Yes.
And then he went from Great by Choice.
Right.
The only Collins I knew, let's ask our producer here, let's get him into the conversation. Is there a thing called Tom Collins, or is that a drink? I think that's a drink.
Yeah.
All right, so I know Tom Collins. What can I say? I'm taking a guess at this, and people know I really don't drink, but I'm making fun of it now. Is that vodka, Mr. Tom, our producer? Oh, come on. You're not a drinker. Yeah, pretend now. Put that bottle down. Okay. Anyway, Great by Choice. Let's talk a little bit about that. As a CPA and NLP practitioner, and I'm sure you see it with you run into a lot of people as a great business owner.
Right.
You know, people are afraid of the economy. It doesn't look like it's getting better anytime soon. The political climate is just ridiculous. In fact, talking about ridiculous, have you seen the Republican debates?
Oh, yes.
Pretty interesting, right?
Very interesting.
All right, here's a quiz. What's tomorrow?
I don't know.
The Florida primary.
Okay, wow.
And Mr. Mitt, the $42 million guy a year, he's in the lead right now.
Okay.
It's like a horse race. It's really weird. But he also spends all these, well, I won't even mention that. That's a whole political show. But you know what's interesting? And I've believed this, and I know you believe this, and that's what makes you very unique as a business owner, as well as a human being, is that you're not a victim of your circumstances. Great by Choice, listen to that title. You choose not letting it be chosen for you because of a bad economy.
That is correct, yes.
So talk a little bit about that, what that means to you, being great by choice.
Well, you know, I think part of it is summed up in the attitude of the leaders of these 10X companies. They all give credit to good luck for success, but they never blame bad luck for their setbacks and failures. I mean, they are just people that, yeah, they take advantage of the good and the bad, but, you know, they're really prepared for everything, and they follow a certain set of core values and disciplines that kind of lead them in that direction.
You know, that totally makes sense. I think there's a book called Learn Optimism. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I have not.
It's actually a pretty good book, and I bought it a couple of years ago, and I read it. And they talk about the people that are optimistic, that when there's bad things that happen, and it happens to people, right? I mean, it just happens. But they don't look at it as an all-encompassing event that destroys their life. They look at it a very small, specific thing that, it's an obstacle. They don't make a big deal out of it so they can move forward. So they're optimistic by choice versus pessimistic.
Sure.
How does that – I mean – You've heard of, you know,
my wife and I were driving to work today and we're having a conversation and we're listening to the news and she says, you know, this is a really bad world. It feels like sometimes this world is a really messed up place. And I told her, well, I don't choose to live in that world. I'm going to live in the world of my choosing. And I think that's what, you know, successful people do.
They really do because, there's a spiritual concept in the world but not of the world. And that's another concept. A lot of the great spiritual masters and leaders throughout the world think of it. And if you think of it in those terms, in the world but not of the world. So, in other words, we are here on the planet Earth. We're in the economy, but we don't choose to participate in the doom and gloom of the media, of what people say, and get into fear.
Right. Yes, I can't control what is going on out there. I can't control what other people say or do. I can't control what's on the news. But I can control my own life, and that's as much as I can, and that's what I will do.
You know, I'm glad you said that. That is brilliant because, you know, every Friday we have Kevin Guy on, the general manager and head coach for the great Arizona Rattlers Arena Football. Hey, get out there to see, by the way, what is it this week? The Phoenix Open.
Yes. Yeah.
Are you going?
I have tickets. I plan on
going. Do you really?
Yeah. You going, Dave?
No, I didn't get tickets, but I should get a media pass.
Okay. Well,
really, when are you going?
I have to decide which day.
You can go any day?
I can go any day, Thursday through Sunday, so I got to decide which day.
Well, when you go, Thursday through Sunday?
Yes.
Kevin's going to call in from the Open on Friday to our show, but if you do, they set up a miniature arena football field, and they have all these players there. So when you go there, say hi to them for me.
Okay, we'll do.
Say, hey, Kevin, yeah. Dave Isaac on Breakthrough Sports said to say hi, but... I don't know where I'm going on this. I go random, right, Tom, sometimes? Yeah, he knows that. Hmm. I'm back to Tom Collins. Now, but I want to...
Would you like to have a Jim Collins?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, what's a Jim Collins? Oh, yeah, I should. Great by choice. Well, let's go back to that because I like what you said. That's right. We said in the world, not of the world. So,
right. Uh-huh.
So what do we encourage the listeners today? One thing I would say, and then you can comment on it, is that... Really look to what you can control, and that's why I brought up Kevin Guy. He's mm-hmm. When I've asked him on Fridays about their opponent, he said, I don't focus really on the opponent.
Mm-hmm.
I focus on if we execute perfectly as a team
right,
and play to our ability, we will come out okay.
Mm. Well, you know, you made me think of John Wooden. Is it okay if we talk about John Wooden?
I love John Wooden.
I mean, talk about execution and having a plan. I mean, he had the same game plan. He worked from the same set of 3x5 cards for 15 years, 20 years. How long was his dynasty?
Oh, it's huge. And I bet at least 15 to 20 years and maybe longer.
And I heard it said you could take a player from his team, from one of his teams from the 60s, the early 60s, another player from the mid 60s, another from the early 70s, and put all the players, those players from different eras, and they would all know how to play with each other, and they just knew all the plays the same way.
Absolutely, I was a big John Wooden fan. I grew up in Los Angeles.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was thinking. Yeah, I go, okay. What am I? But I'm here now in Phoenix. So. But I was a big UCLA fan, and in the glory years, what did he win? 10 straight championships. I don't think anyone will ever match that. Now,
mm-hmm.
But you're right. He said. The coaching was in the practicing, in the fundamentals. He said he rarely coached during the games because if you're going to practice and you're going to really put in what you want and the execution, it better be practice.
Right.
And he was amazing at discipline.
Mm-hmm. Well, he would start the season with the very first session was in the locker room. Showing the players how to put on their shoes.
Yeah, I heard about that. And socks.
And socks. Start with the socks. Roll them gently over your toes.
Yeah.
Pull them up tightly and go through the whole bit with lacing the shoes.
You know, Bill Walton, who one of the greats, right?
Yep. Yeah.
At UCLA. He said, Coach, you know, why I don't want to have to put the socks on this way and the shoes on this way. He says, you don't have to. And let me know where you're going to play next year because it won't be here.
Wow.
But they were very good friends up mm-hmm. until when John Wooden passed away, what, about a year ago, I think? Something like 99 years old, I believe. But you're right, but there's a method to that madness. It sounds like madness. It's mm-hmm. not. It's discipline. It's teaching character. Mm-hmm. But there's another reason. You got to put your socks on the shoes the same one way so you don't get blisters.
Right. Don't get blisters. You don't want your shoes to come untied during overtime or a critical moment. Yes, right.
Exactly. So he was into the detail and the basic foundation, and you can't argue with his success.
Yeah, that is correct, yes.
And I think we'll take a quick break now. When we come back, we're going to talk about fanatic discipline.
Okay.
Fanatic discipline, as described by Jim Collins in Great by Choice, you definitely want to know what that means because if you apply it to your business, guess what? Your business will start to improve. That's what we all want. Stay tuned. Four more. We'll be right back.
How healthy is your business? Is your business plan helping your bottom line? Do you even have a business plan? Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business has over 25 years of helping businesses of all kinds and sizes to get them where their owners want them to go.
she uses her special wellness check process. It's to assess where your business is now, and then uses her own unique 7 steps business excellence plan to expand and grow your business into something to be proud of. Barbara will take a holistic or a global appreciation view of your company, and that's absolutely going to make a difference to your bottom line. So call now and schedule a wellness check and watch your business grow. 602-750-4518. That's Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business. 602-750-4518.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the fifth Monday special event, and we have in studio a remarkable individual, great leader, someone that thrives on learning and learning and learning from great people, Mike Hoffman, owner of Service Master by Disaster Professionals. And before we get into what I promised the listeners is a fanatic discipline, let's talk a little bit about Service Master by Disaster Professionals, exactly what you do and how you can help people.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you, Dave.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, well, we're out, basically, we're in the business of helping people when they experience a disaster in their home or their business. They may have a flood, they may have a fire, or something else, but typically we deal with floods and fires, and amazingly in Phoenix, you'd be surprised how many times people's homes are flooded.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, anything can happen. Water heater can go. Ice maker lines can become busted. A lot of times what we see is the supply line to a toilet tank just comes off.
Really?
And then the whole house, part of the house gets flooded, sometimes the whole house. And by the way, the same things happen in people's businesses too.
Oh, shoot. That would be very, well, either way it's terrible, but one, on a personal level, and two, on, I got a notification from my iPhone. I always tell everyone on the show, turn your phone off, and I guess who I forgot to tell. Me.
Oh, no.
Okay. I forgot to tell myself this time. Okay. But Tom knows I forget very often because of Tom Collins. No. Mm-hmm. But you're right, a personal situation or a business, and of course you don't want destruction of records and interruption of business could be disastrous.
Well, yes, that is correct. Yeah, so we do everything we can. Our brand promise is to restore peace of mind.
Nice.
So you're there, you're in your home. I mean, you just don't know what happens. No one prepares for their house to get flooded or to have a fire. No one wants that. We have experience with dealing with that and helping people through the whole their whole loss, and that's what we call it. It's a loss, and help them get their house back to the pre-loss condition.
You know, I think it's important. I'm a big believer in being prepared, and that's one of the things we're going to talk about after fanatic discipline. But being prepared. And prepare for the worst, but expect the best. That's an optimistic approach,
right.
But you got to be realistic. If you're not prepared, the very time you wish you had a phone number like from you, Mike, is probably the time they didn't write it down and they go, oh, shoot, I just have a flood.
Right.
Where is that number? Oh, I didn't write it down. I should have. Get your pencils out. Let's give the phone number just in case. You never know. We hope it doesn't happen, right?
Yeah,
no one
that's
wants
right.
a flood,
no.
right, or a fire,
no.
or any disaster. But sometimes it does happen, like you said. And why not have a friend, that's Mike Hoffman, right. be able to say, hey, yeah, give me a call.
Right.
How would they call you?
Well, they can call 602-431-2222.
Well, that's easy enough. 431-2222.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that. Were you able to design that number?
Well, we just were fortunate to have that.
That is a good number. 431-2222 or 2222. Many ways you could say that.
Right.
But no, and I've said it about attorneys too. You know, so many people don't establish a relationship with an attorney in good times, and then when they try, if something happens and they go, "Oh shoot, I need to get an attorney." Have a relationship already. You know the attorney. Be friends. Go to lunch. In good times, you don't need an attorney, but make sure that you're prepared. What do they say about banking? The best time to get a loan is when you don't need a loan.
Yeah, that's correct.
I mean, why not? People should do that. They should prepare in advance. Just get out, a phone book. Get your little black book out. Well, maybe not black book. Isn't black book related to dating? I don't know. I think, Tom, is that true? Dating? No?
I've been married for 29 years. I don't know what a date is.
All right. Well, I'm not married, so I don't have a black book. But anyway, but the whole point is get your now it's your iPhone or BlackBerry. Right. Put it in your iPhone just because it's good to know someone. And now, and you have a very kind voice.
Oh, well, thank you.
There we go. So anyway, that was 602-431-2222. Can they ask for you or anyone?
They can ask for anyone, but Kayla answers the phone. Oh, actually, we have the phone answered 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, they don't ask for me. Just give us your information, and we want to get a crew out to help you right away.
That's very cool, and again, you just never know. So anyway, let's talk about what Jim Collins in Great by Choice talks about, fanatic discipline.
Yes.
Sounds interesting. Mm-hmm. What is it, Mr. Mike?
Well, that's a characteristic of successful companies and also successful people on many different kinds of endeavors. Whether it's the first team to get to the South Pole or mountain climbers or anyone. But basically,
smoker. What's a smoker?
But did I say smoker?
Did you say smoker?
I didn't say smoker.
Oh, smoker. Oh, that's a code for something. That's Tom's. okay, I'll be checking this out, Mr. Tom. Thank you so much. Smoker.
Okay.
I don't know if you meant, are they smoking or smoker?
Okay.
You know, like in Rambo days.
Okay.
Shoot 'em up. Okay. Anyway, where were we on this?
Okay, well, these people or these entities, they practice something called fanatic discipline.
Yeah.
And basically, that's just executing extreme discipline of action. And that could be, that includes consistency with your values. And it's very important to have values, whether it's personal values or your company values, with your goals. We all need to have goals. We all need to know where we're going.
Right? Absolutely.
And then we need to have performance standards and methods. And so anyway, these companies or these people, they practice this fanatic discipline, and it's kind of related to something, a concept that Jim Collins calls the 20-mile march.
Hmm. Tell us about that.
So basically, consider two people that are both going to take a walk from Los Angeles to Portland, Maine.
Yeah.
And, one person makes a plan. And his plan, and he's prepared, and he has all the equipment he needs. He knows where he's going to get his food and everything. But he has a plan, and he's going to march 20 miles a day, every day, day in and day out. So that's easy when you leave, Los Angeles, and it's 70 degrees and moderate weather. But then all of a sudden you get to the desert, and it's hot. And you feel like, I think I won't go quite as far today. I'll make it up later. But you keep going. You do your 20 miles, in the desert. Then you get to a cooler place. And, I can do more than 20 miles. Maybe I'll do 40. But, no, he does 20 miles because he wants to keep his strength up for later and keep his reserves because he's going to need them at some point. Well, then he gets to the Rocky Mountains. And he wakes up in his tent, and there's been a snowstorm, and he doesn't feel like getting out of that tent. Well, he gets out of that tent and keeps going. And he just keeps following that, that whole mindset and that whole practice. Now, let's say someone else, the other person, they take off and they do 30 miles the first day, and you know they get to the desert, and boy, you know, I don't think I can go as far. I'll just make it up later, you know. And so then, you know, he's already starting behind, and then he gets into the Rocky Mountains, and he wakes up in a snowstorm, and he doesn't feel like getting out of the tent, so he just kind of hibernates for a while. Then eventually, by the time he gets to Kansas, the first person's already in Maine, over at the Atlantic Ocean. So, I mean, that concept can be applied to many, many different situations.
You know, there's no doubt, as you were describing this, it reminded me of a couple things like people that want to save money. They go, well, I'll save later, you know, not today, or, oh, we'll do it next month, or pay off a debt next month.
Right.
Rather than evenly disciplining yourself to do it, because usually later doesn't come.
Right, right. And some of these companies, they would have a goal that they would make money every year, year in and year out. Now, they would also manage their growth. In good times, they might limit their growth to 20 to 25%. Now, Southwest Airlines, they started out just flying in Texas. At one point, they had 100 cities wanting them to come to their city.
Wow.
And that year, they only opened up 4 out of 100. Why? They were managing their growth.
Yeah.
So that applies to both good times and bad times. So what happens if you manage in the good times, you have reserves that will help you through the bad times. But in the case of Intel and AMD, in the mid-1980s, there was a severe downturn in the semiconductor industry. Mm-hmm. AMD had used all their cash reserves to fund their very, very aggressive goal of growth. And then when it came to a downturn in sales, they just did not have the staying power, and it really hurt them very badly.
You know, that totally makes sense. Something else that people might relate to is if you've ever been in school, how many of you during the semester, oh, I'll study tonight. Oh, no, there's a party. I'll go study tonight. Oh, there's a ball game.
Right.
And then they have to cram for the test the very last night.
Right.
Not a good way to study.
Right. Yeah. I guess you call it pacing yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. And I bet, you know, the great marathon runners know how to do that.
Right.
Have you ever seen someone go all out the very first couple miles? No, that you got to pace yourself. So I like that. It's consistent in execution. You're steady, stable, and you just make sure that every day you hit that particular goal, cumulatively, it will add up to make you very successful.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And that's fanatic discipline.
Yes.
Why do you think people aren't disciplined? I mean, are they just sort of go at the whims of the moment and they just do what they feel like in that particular moment?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say, but, you know, it seems like, people, you always want to think you're going to have good luck, and you always want to think, well, you don't want to think you're going to have bad luck, but, you know, you have good luck, you have bad luck, you got good times, and you got bad times.
Yeah.
And maybe sometimes we've been through some bad times, and the good times come, and that makes us want to go a little harder, but maybe we go too hard.
Yeah.
Or in the bad times, you know, or bad times come and, you know, we don't think we can do as well as we could in good times. But really, you need to set a consistent level of achievement.
Yeah, there's no doubt. So, I agree with that totally.
And it needs to be a manageable level also.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think, but, you know, if you chunk it down, that's an NLP term. And you can do it. If you do something every day in small amounts, it really does add up.
Right, right.
I mean, significantly. And, you know, I think we'll probably take a break in about a minute, but, you know, I think the society has learned they don't want to wait for good things. It's instant gratification.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of a greedy society. It's hitting the home run.
Right.
It's winning the lottery, hoping to win the lottery, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
So they want it quick and easy.
Yes, yes.
What's up with that? Oh, quick and easy. That could be a new hamburger show. Quick and easy. But I really think that's not the way of the successful people, though.
No.
It's not quick and easy, right?
No, no, it's not. I mean, it takes, you need to have some discipline, some fanatic discipline. You need to be, you need to learn from others. You know, there's another concept called empirical creativity that goes along with that.
Which I think we'll talk about as soon as we come back from our break. Empirical creativity. These are good hints, right, Mike Kaufman. This is very good. And, of course, it comes from your experience as well as a great book called Great by Choice, Jim Collins. You want to get out there and buy that. And we are talking in studio with owner of Service Master by Disaster Professionals, Mike Kaufman, who knows his stuff. We'll be right back.
At Beer and Bomb and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the fifth Monday special event on Breakthrough Thinking, and in studio, the owner of Service Master by Disaster Professionals, Mr. Mike Kaufman. We're talking about what the greats do, what the great people do in business and in life. And specifically, we're now talking about a book called Great by Choice. Jim Collins is the author. And we just talked about fanatical discipline, and now we're talking about a second concept, empirical creativity. Tell us a little bit about what it is they mean, or Jim Collins, or means by empirical creativity.
Okay, sure. When you think about companies that are in a highly competitive and changing environment, companies like Intel, especially back in the early 80s, or Microsoft when it was first getting started, or even Southwest Airlines. I mean, you'd think, well, you know, they made some decisions, they took actions, and what did they base that on? And basically, and there's a lot of uncertainty in their environment. But so where'd they look? Where'd they look to decide what to do? Did they look with from within? Did they make up the stuff themselves? Or, but really what Jim Collins found was they looked primarily toward empirical evidence. So basically, that they made bold creative moves, but it was based from a sound empirical base. And he uses a concept to go along with that called first fire bullets, then fire cannonballs. So any idea what that could mean, Dave?
I'm thinking that do a test run first. Don't, you know, what comes to mind is like a lot of people, they'll say, oh, I love that idea, and they take their life savings and they spend it, and guess what? They go, whoops, we forgot a few facts that maybe we would have thrown a little bit of money on. So in other words, test the waters first, see if it's going to work before you make a major investment.
That is correct, yes. And, you know, Apple did the same thing. Now, not after Steve Jobs came back, you know, he did a lot of that same stuff.
Oh, he did?
I mean, like, well, the iPod. I mean, that started out small. That was just considered an extension of their Macintosh. It was
really?
Not. iTunes came later. You know, iPhone came later. iPad came later. But the iPod started out very small. It didn't even make their yearly annual report, you know, the first year that it was out.
Is that right?
Yeah, yes. So everyone thinks that these people like Bill Gates and Steve Jobs, they took these bold moves and they moved on a dime. But really, there was something that was based on something. And that's something that really they fired their bullets and looked at the results. And then they went and they took the big move, which Jim Collins calls the cannonball.
I like that. So it's a really deliberate thought. And again, that's counter to what we were talking about before the break, where people seem to be in a rush, a hurry.
Right.
But take, you know, slow it up a little bit and take deliberate thinking and thought and really test it before you put all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So it sort of makes sense to me. It actually really makes sense. And part of it, then, people have to really, really understand what drives their behavior. Are they just so in fear of not having anything, of losing things, that they seem to go in many different directions looking for the big hit? You know, in baseball. And, Mike, you're a big baseball fan, right?
Sure. Yeah, you betcha.
Who's your favorite team?
Well, my favorite team is the Diamondbacks. But I also, my favorite team before then, I grew up in Detroit, so my first favorite team was the Detroit Tigers.
Well, then let me ask you, this is not the sports show. However, Prince Fielder, back to Detroit. They
Prince
signed.
Fielder. Yeah. Oh, yes, wow.
Did you watch his daddy, I think it was Cecil Fielder?
No, I didn't.
Oh, he was huge. Yeah, he signed for $214 million over 19 years.
Wow, not,
I mean,
not bad.
9 years, not 19 years. $214 million. Fourth largest payday in the history of baseball. Now, Detroit. So, wow, that's quite a sports town. The Red Wings.
Yep, that's my favorite hockey team.
Oh, they're good.
After the Coyotes.
Oh, I'll tell you, Pavel Datsyuk, what a player. I do admire them quite a bit. I'm a big Coyote fan, but you got to admire a team like Detroit. I mean, they're just the model of excellence, and that's what we're talking about is excellence. Now, let's see. What were we talking about? Not why did I bring up sports? Let's go backwards and rewind to determine what point I was trying to make.
Wow. Is there a sports analogy with firing bullets, then cannonballs?
Oh, yeah. What was that? I forgot now, but we had so much fun talking about Detroit.
Yeah.
You know, that's, Oh, it was the Diamondbacks. Yeah. I said, what is your favorite team? And you said the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I still don't remember.
I'm a big Kirk Gibson fan.
From Detroit.
He's an amazing leader. Yes.
Now, here's a guy. Let's talk about him a little bit as a leader. I mean, here's a guy that took a team that lost 95 losses the last 2 years, and he comes up with winning 94 games, and they take their division. That is incredible. You know what he said the first in spring training last year? He said, these guys technically have skills, but they have to know how to win. I have to teach them how to win. You know, that's an interesting concept.
Right, yeah.
Isn't that similar, you know, teaching some of these great authors here and great people, how do you win in business?
Right,
And there's some similarities there.
Yes, there is. There's a lot of similarities. And anyway, yeah, it's a, you know, and, you know, we can do it. You know, one, let's find the right teachers. That takes a while. You know, that's a challenge. But if you can find the right teachers and find the right peers, you can model successful behavior.
Oh, nice. I like that modeling.
Is that an NLP concept?
That is totally an NLP concept, modeling behavior. You know, one thing that we can apply to sports is the empirical creativity. And that applies also in sports where do you rush a player too quickly, a youngster coming up, or do you let them play in the minor leagues? Similar, right?
Right.
Test them out. Don't throw them in the major leagues yet. That's right. That's the all or nothing syndrome. And Kirk Gibson and the Diamondbacks are very good at that. They say, well, let's not rush the youngsters.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you do, sometimes it can hurt them.
Hmm.
They could start, it could sting their confidence if they can't jump from college or high school right into the big leagues. And very few can.
Right.
So it's very similar. Unfortunately, I think 4 or 5 years ago, Wayne Gretzky as coach did play some of the youngsters, and I think that may have set them back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're, a lot of them are doing pretty well. So, but it's, it's all the timing. It's all how you view things. But what you're trying to say is patience.
Right.
Think it through.
Right.
Test it. And if it works, go for it.
Exactly. Yes.
Love that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it doesn't take taking fast action and taking fast decisions. If you don't have the right base, it's a sure way to get killed.
Yeah, that's right. I like that. Mm. That was a nice quote.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it a quote?
Something like that.
Okay.
Go ahead, you can quote me.
But I love that. That makes sense. Now, why don't you talk about, and this might more relate to the fanatical discipline, but I don't know if you told the story about the South Pole.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Why don't we talk about that? We'll rewind a little bit to the fanatical discipline to integrate this in, the South Pole.
Okay, South Pole. Back in the early 1900s, I believe it was in 1912, there were two expeditions to the South Pole. One was led by a guy named Amundsen, is a Norwegian guy, and another one led by someone named Scott. And they both left at different time, pretty much close to the same time, from different points in the Antarctic. And actually, the Amundsen guy, he originally was going to go to the North Pole. Well, someone got there before him, so he took all his preparation and then he redirected it toward a plan to go to the South Pole. But he did many things along the way. Scott. Did who was the person that ended up not being successful?
Mm-hmm.
He tried using ponies and mechanical sleds to transport his people and equipment. Amundsen, he had done many things. He had worked a lot on his own personal fitness. He had lived with Eskimos to learn from them. He learned about moving slowly, so as not to work up a sweat. He learned wearing loose clothing. He just learned how to live in cold conditions like they did.
He was prepared.
He was prepared, yes. He used dog sleds. He used teams of dogs. But he also used the approach of the 20-mile march also. They consistently set a goal of how far they would go. They said between 15 and 20 miles a day. And they had supply stations along the way. They had their supply stations marked with dozens of black pennants, which you could see against the white snow very easy, so that, if they got lost, they were more easily going to find them, whereas Scott only had one black pennant.
Mm.
He brought maybe five times as much food as he needed. The other person barely brought enough, but... He was able to, and he even planned to the point of strategies was with the dogs was if the stronger dogs would eat the weaker dogs if it came down to it. Whereas Scott, the ponies, it turns out ponies sweat and they end up with ice sheets on their bodies and they weren't going to make it. But basically, Amundsen got to the South Pole 30 days before Scott. And then he made it back to his base station right. Everything went per schedule. Scott got to the South Pole. The last 50 miles, his men had to manhaul the sleds. They got there to find that they were there. They were second. And they were enduring blizzards and horrible conditions just like Amundsen. And they died on their way back. But anyway.
But that's a great story to demonstrate that if you're consistent in your action and execution, the 20-mile march. And it's really what Dale Carnegie also talks about, mm-hmm. is live in day-tight compartments. He's always mm-hmm. said that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that means, you know, have that behavioral discipline. And, of course, they call it fanatic discipline.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know which one I like better, behavioral discipline or fanatic. Okay, I like fanatic discipline.
Okay, wow, okay.
Yeah, that is sort of cool. Mm-hmm. But really, what's the lesson there for the listeners?
In terms
of the 20-mile march.
Well, I think, you know, you need to have that discipline. You need to have a plan, and you need to stick to your plan.
Yeah.
And believe in the plan and just discipline, use your discipline to execute it.
You know, that's so true, and I think people probably intellectually know that, but somehow they get trapped in the rat race, and mm-hmm. and they just sort of scramble around. The wind blows them where they want to go and or where they don't want to go. And I think this is a very good lesson. And when we come back, we're going to talk about productive paranoia.
Okay.
Wow, this sounds like a psychological thriller. Productive paranoia. I can't wait to hear about that. We're here with Mike Hoffman, owner of Service Master by Disaster Professional, a great company. And we'll be right back to talk about more success stories.
Weidenauer, Heighton & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Weidenauer, Heighton & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today. 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, and this is the Fifth Monday special event. And in studio, we have Mike Hoffman, the owner of Service Master by Disaster Professionals. And, you know, it's we've been talking about a book called Great by Choice by Jim Collins. And, you know, it's really time for people to really believe in themselves, mm-hmm. to know that they can really reach higher potentials,
mm-hmm.
don't you think?
Yes.
Why do people get stuck in just the limiting beliefs and limitations that they sort of accept mm-hmm. day in and day out rather than challenge them and grow?
Well, you know, I have heard one person talking, and, you know, just imagine a circle. Draw a circle the size of a golf ball and put, you know, where you are right now in that circle.
Mm.
Now, if you draw a bigger circle around it, inside that circle you put where I want to go, what do I want to achieve, you're going to also end up encountering maybe pain,
yeah.
fear, I mean discomfort, definitely.
Right. Yeah.
And that's kind of what stops a lot of us. You know, that becomes a challenge for all of us, because the more you want to achieve, the more you're going to encounter that discomfort.
You know, it's true, and it just reminded me of a concept that a lot of spiritual people and leaders talk about, is that the goal in life is not to eliminate the storms.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. It's not to eliminate the storms. It's to build a stronger boat.
Right.
Because the storms will already be here. They will. It's a given. There will be storms. But if you can learn ways to be able to, with higher skill sets, and to interpret things not as doom and gloom, but just some interesting obstacles,
right,
to be able to get past them, life will be easier and more joyful.
That is correct. Yeah, wow.
I like it. This is really good. So anyway, as promised to the listeners, productive paranoia.
Yes.
Whoa, I'm paranoid on that one. What is that? Productive paranoia. Another concept the great companies use.
Yeah, so Jim Collins, again, the companies that he calls the 10Xers, I mean, they are hyper-vigilant. I mean, they stay highly attuned to whatever threats or changes could occur in their environment. I mean, and even when things are going well, probably especially when things are going well.
Yeah.
I mean, Bill Gates was just famous for doing that, just kind of imagining what could go wrong out there. They assume that conditions will turn against them sometime, and maybe even at the worst possible moment. So, but they take this fear and worry and they channel it into action. They prepare, they develop contingency plans, they build buffers, and they maintain large margins of safety.
Oh, margins of safety. I like that.
Yeah, so I mean, then the concept that goes along with that is something called leading above the death line. And so that concept, I believe, comes from mountain climbing on Mount Everest. You know, you get above a certain area, you've got to... That can be your death line if you do not make the correct decisions.
Wow, I'm getting dizzy thinking about it.
Yes, well, just imagine what can happen. You know, they get hurricane force winds combined with blizzards.
Oh, jeez.
There's just all things, that, kind of things that can happen up there. And, you know, you're up there, and it's far away, and it's cold, so you better be prepared.
And that's a key is preparation. Right. I don't know how many people are prepared. But, you know, prepare. I think we talked about it at one of the breaks. Prepare for the worst, but expect the best.
Right, right. Well, you know, Southwest Airlines is a good example. They made a profit for 25 straight years. I mean, I think they've always made a profit. And we're talking in the airline industry.
And phenomenal, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, starting out as a small regional airlines, and even the year of 2001, the year of 9/11. They made a profit that year.
Incredible.
They were prepared. They were the first of the airlines to be able to get back up in the air after the skies were opened back up.
I really admire Southwest. I think they're just a phenomenal organization on how they approach business. You know, it's interesting. Herb, I think is it Herb Keller? I think that's the chairman.
Mm-hmm.
Or now, I think he retired, but somehow he's still somewhat involved. But he always looked at, you know, if you think about most organizations, a pyramid, where there's a point at the top and there's a base on the bottom, and it showed that, you know, if you look at the point on the top, that's where the CFO or COO or CEO sits, and then the big base is all the employees working for them. He inverted it and saying, wait, the point's on the bottom. I work for all my employees.
Right. Yeah.
What type of... That's incredible philosophy.
Yeah, it is incredible. And they have a company that is just full of super motivated employees because they know that the company cares about them.
Well, exactly. And I just hear it's a wonderful place to work. And they continue the tradition despite that, you know, he's not as active.
Right.
But what a talent. I mean, truly one of the best chairmen, CEOs, maybe in the history. Mm-hmm. I mean, among the top three.
Right.
At least in the history of businesses.
Yes.
That's a credit. I'll tell you now.
Right.
What you're saying is, you know, this, let's see, the productive paranoia. And did I get in the right order? Productive or is it paranoia or productive?
Oh, it's productive paranoia.
That's what I thought. You know, what's interesting is in good times, you mentioned that. And it doesn't mean pessimism. It doesn't mean, you know, doom and gloom. It means don't take things for granted, pretty much.
Right. Well, I need to have sensory perception about what's going on in your environment.
Yeah.
And you need to be attuned to what can happen. I mean, it may, in some cases, it might be only a 5%, but it's something that could very well happen sometime. So you got to be prepared for it. I mean, Microsoft, when they were first going to go for their initial IPO, the lawyers came in to talk to, I don't know if it's the lawyers or the entity that was going to do the IPO for them. I don't know if it's the brokerage house, but they came prepared to talk to Bill Gates and his staff about how treacherous this could be, and they got the reverse. They had Bill Gates, vice president of finance, talking to them, and he was telling them how treacherous this could be and all the bad things, everything that could go wrong with the IPO. But they're prepared, not that they were expecting the worst, but they're planning for whatever could happen.
Yeah, totally agree. And in classic strategic planning, there's a concept called SWOT analysis.
Mm, right.
S is
strengths.
W.
Weaknesses.
Nicely done. O.
Opportunities.
And T.
Threats.
That is exactly right. And people should look at that because you never know.
Right.
I mean, and you're in the business of being there available if someone has a disaster. That's not planned.
No, that's right.
So tell us about that, how this applies to even your business.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow.
That's a good one.
Well, thanks, Dave. No one wants to have a flood or a fire in their house or in their business. But if you recognize that these kind of things can happen, you can do pre-loss planning.
Yeah.
If you're a homeowner, take an inventory of everything you have. Take photos. Keep them in some place safe, in a safe deposit box or in a safe someplace. If you're a business owner, have a pre-loss plan. Know who your insurance agent is. Have their phone number. Have an inventory of everything you have. Know who you can call. Have the number for the fire department, the police department, but have a relationship with a restoration company.
No question about it. I mean, this is really big. And don't you have something like a disaster plan or something that you help businesses with?
Yes, we do.
Talk about that, because I think that's real important for businesses.
Yeah, well, it's good to know. I mean, it's good to know what one is, who to call if you have a disaster. But also it's good to know for that person and for you to have a layout of your facility, to know where you if you have a problem and the whole place is flooded or you've had a fire, which area of the business do you need back working soonest?
Yeah,
I mean, a lot of times it's the IT room, it could be the drive-through window at a restaurant, just whatever. But you need to have a pre-planned a priority for what when you get back, what needs to come back up first.
And I bet a lot of businesses really haven't thought about that, but you don't want to think about it during the disaster.
Right.
There's too many other things to think
about.
Well,
it's like you said, the time to get a loan is when
you don't need one.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's have the plan before we need it.
Can they call you to get this disaster plan for businesses?
Oh, they can call. They can call 602-431-2222, and they can ask for myself or they can ask for Barbara. And we will help them out with the plan.
I think that's great. I think if you're in a business, large or small, right?
Right, that is correct.
It doesn't matter if it's just a little retail place or mom-pop place. I mean, it's still a disaster is a disaster, and I think that's going to be real important. So what is it called, a disaster plan?
A pre-loss plan.
Pre-loss plan.
Yes.
And I think that's just incredibly valuable. So anyway, so Mike, you can be reached, as well as Barbara and the whole crew, 602-431-2222. And Mike Hoffman, it's been an honor and a pleasure. Thank you for being on Breakthrough Thinking today.
Well, thank you, Dave. It was a pleasure.
Oh, well, I enjoyed it. We'll have to get you on again because I love, we could go through all these books and really talk about the concepts. It'd be almost like a book review on a practical basis. Anyway, thanks again, Mike Hoffman, owner of Service Master by Disaster Professionals, 602-431-2222. And now stay tuned for the debut show of Mind Your Body, starring fitness guru Journey Reeves, a personal trainer, phenomenal person. We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
This is Arizona Station, 1010 KXXT, Tolleson, Phoenix.
How healthy is your business? Is your business plan helping your bottom line? Do you even have a business plan? Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business has over 25 years of helping businesses of all kinds and sizes to get them where their owners want them to go. She uses her special wellness check process. It's to assess where your business is now and then uses her own unique 7 steps business excellence plan to expand and grow your business into something to be proud of. Barbara will take a holistic or a global appreciation view of your company, and that's absolutely going to make a difference to your bottom line. So call now and schedule a wellness check and watch your business grow. 602-750-4518. That's Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business. 602-750-4518. At Beerenbaum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues, corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.